Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 8, starting in the 40th verse. And yes, I know the minute you see it, you're going to be like, hey, but I don't think everybody in here knows that story the way I want them to know it today. Luke chapter 8, in the 40th verse, we start. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter of 12 was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." And the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she touched him and how she'd been instantly healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's mother and father. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and moaning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them, "Give her something to eat." Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. May God add his blessings to this. Will you please join with me in prayer? Father, as we walk, as we struggle, as we look, let these words be refreshment to our ears and our heart. As they come from you through me, Father, let them be lifting and teaching. Let us go from here ready to face yet again the world. We thank you, Father, for this moment in time. And we pray this through Jesus' name. And all of his children said, Amen. Amen. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know what everyone's thinking. You see, one of the things that you don't know, when you decide to become a pastor, God touches you on the head, doink, and you become instantly clairvoyant. I always know what everybody's thinking. And everybody in this room is thinking the same thing. Man, I'll bet Paul would like a piece of chicken and a piece of pie. And I'm okay with that. But what you're thinking right now is, I've heard this story before. Yes, you have. Have you ever listened to it? Have you ever paid attention to it? Have you ever considered what it means? It's one of my most favorite moments in the Bible. Not story. I don't like that word when describing stuff in the Bible. Because the minute you say, hey, to someone who don't know anything, "I know this great Bible story," their ears flick forward and they immediately start hearing it as a story, not as a truth right away. It needs to be a moment. So I refer to them as moments. My story is a story. But what comes out of the Bible is a moment. And this is on my top 10 favorite moments of the Bible. Because within this, we learn of a single thread and what it can do. All right. So here's how it goes. This is the telling of faith. This is the telling of faith that we often just kind of read it real quick. Yeah, the woman bleeding, and she wasn't bleeding anymore. But this is a story of faith. And so here's how it goes. Are you ready? You see, trust leads to hope. And hope leads to faith. And faith leads to joy. Say amen.
Amen.
And then it goes right back again to trust. Trust leads to hope. Hope leads to faith. And faith leads to joy. So here we go. Now we're going to say it together. I'm going to say it once, then you're going to repeat after me. Trust leads to hope. I'll make it easy. Wait a minute. Trust to hope.
Trust to hope.
Hope to faith.
Hope to faith.
Faith to
joy.
Joy to trust. Say it again.
Trust
to what?
Hope.
Hope to what?
Faith.
Faith to what?
Joy.
Joy to what?
Trust.
Trust to what?
Love.
Something.
Boy, them train wheels fell off, didn't they? Trust to hope. Hope to faith. Faith to joy. And back again. And again. And again. And again. And so what we have here is a constant circle. You know what yes, why?
You forgot love.
No, we'll get to that later. But if you want to preach, here are my notes. But thank you for keeping me on course. You know what a circle is, right? Everybody that can, hold up a hand that's got a ring on it. Most people will go left. Men, for you that don't understand, that is your left hand. And if you're not holding that hand up, you're going to get smacked. You got a ring on your hand, hold it up. You know what a circle is? No beginning, no ending. Constant, infinite, without end. That's what I say when I do the wedding. Right, Jill? I just did hers. Jill Hudson Smith. Cannot get that in my head. A circle is no beginning, no ending. It's constant. It's infinite. And from this circle of trust to hope to faith to joy, to trust to hope to faith to joy, to trust to hope to faith to joy, we find ourselves in the love of Jesus Christ. And you cannot have one without the other. Because then you get a broken circle. And a lot of people get lost in that faith thing. But today we will stop and consider it. Thomas Aquinas, who lived from 1225 to 1274, he was the foremost classical proponent of natural theology. His works and his writings are the reason and the influence of so many people today. And his logic was God. Oh, that's it, God. His logic was God. God is everything. Everything comes from God. His influence on Western thought is still being found today. And he had these words to say. He said, faith has to do with things that are not seen, and hope with things that are not at hand. Faith has to do with things that are not seen, and hope with things that are not at hand. Amazing. How do we do it again? Trust to I'm going to get me one of them little diesel horns. And I'm going to keep that thing in here. And when I want you to speak, I'm going to do that. Trust to
hope.
Hope to
faith.
Faith to
joy.
Joy to
trust.
In the center is love. But seriously, when you come right down to it, what else do we have other than that? And within that, what else do we have other than pure, unabashed faith? It's all we have. It's a word that we throw around. Webster's defines it as complete trust or confidence in someone or something, a strongly held belief or theory. I have complete faith in this book. I don't deviate from it. I don't question it. If you come to me and tell me it's a pack of lies, I want to talk to you about it. But I don't deviate from that. And I don't deviate from the fact that Jesus Christ is as real as the carpet on this floor. Don't deviate from it. And because of my trust, it bolsters my hope, gives me my faith, and brings me joy when I'm able to talk about it. I love being able to tell people when they look at me and somebody goes, "Hey, you know he's a preacher?" And they're like, "You don't look like no preacher." I get joy out of that. What's a preacher look like? Tell me. Long, flowing hair, robes, you know, or maybe a nice three-piece Armani suit. What's a preacher look like? Preacher looks like all the people that are looking at me right now, all of y'all. Anybody what brings the word, anybody that talks, preaches the gospel. Now, there are those of us who are a little bit stronger at it and can make a pretty good case for it. But if the words that come out of your mouth are, "Do you know my Lord? Hey, welcome to preacherhood." You see, all around us is everything, everywhere in faith. And I mean, I made a comment, I don't know, last week or a few weeks ago. When you walk in a dark room and flick on the wall switch, that's called faith. Light's going to come right on, ain't it? Or when you go out and start your car or wash your clothes, you don't think about that stuff. You got to make sure you keep your keys with you. That can test your faith. But you don't think about it because you have unabashed, unresigned, total, complete faith in that moment. I'm going to turn the lights on. I'm going to walk in the room. I cannot believe these boys' room is the mess that it's in. And then turn the light back off. And don't forget what tomorrow is. Make sure you clean your house up. Tomorrow's the last day on earth. Or when you go to start your car, you're ready to go. Or when you get out, how many people in this room? Now, I know not everybody's clothes washer is right there with you. But how many people in this room walk over to the clothes washer, pack that thing full, pour the detergent in, push the button, walk away from it, and go do something else? Everybody say amen. Amen. Everybody does because you have faith in it. So let's use a few examples. Let's use your car for an example. Is your faith tested when you go out to hit that starter and nothing happens? Oh boy. You want to see the end of America? Have everybody's car at the same time one day not start. This country would be in the ocean in 2 seconds. How about when you flick the switch on in the room and nothing happens? Is your faith tested then? What's everybody in this room do? Click, 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 click. Like that's going to magically turn it on. Click, 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 click. Or how about when you put your clothes in the clothes washer and you're in there cooking or you're reading a book and bing, your little thing goes off. Go down and check them and you go back there and you open the door and nothing's happened. And you know you turned it on because right there it says it's on. Or you go downstairs and it's full of water and not doing anything. How many times has that happened in this room? For us, it happens a lot. Because I buy old used washing machines because I'm cheap. I can fix them. It don't bother me. It bothers somebody in this room a whole lot. I was in a meeting with the President of the United States one day. And my phone went off. And the President said, "Paul, you better answer that." And I said, "It's only from my wife." He said, "You better answer that." And I picked the phone up. "What's up, dear?" "The washing machine ain't working again." And I looked at the President, he goes, "You better go home and fix that." But it gets tested. It gets shaken. And once it's fixed, you become a little bit more careful for a while, don't you? Oh, thank you, Lord. Or you flick that switch on, or you walk down after the clothes washer's fixed, and all your clothes are bright and shiny, and your bibs look like brand new. But it's shaken. It's tested. The next time you check a little more careful, and yet our faith in God, well, that gets tested, right? Olympic gold medalist, Darrell Pace. We get our faith tested. Olympic gold medalist, Darrell Pace, Pace is an archer, and he's a good one. And he was to give an archery exhibition in New York Central Park. He received event coverage from all the news stations. They all went down there with cameras to see what he was going to do. He was shooting steel-tipped hunting arrows. And after a while of wowing the crowd with thumbing them back and hitting bullseyes from sideways, forward, one hand over his eye, he then called for a volunteer because he never missed. All you have to do, said Pace, is hold this apple in your hand waist high. ABC correspondent Josh Howell took the bold step forward. He stood there with a very small apple in his hand and one big apple in his throat. Let me stop right here. Pace took aim from 30 yards away. How many people in this room, if asked to do that, would have picked up the apple and walked out there to see what happened? Other than me. Because we all know what kind of idiot I am. Nobody put their hands up. Because everybody's like, oh, my wife would. Stand right there. Now, think about that. He's holding an apple right there. That guy's, he's going to put an arrow through the apple from 30 yards out. Anybody want to try it? A lot of people looking out the windows all of a sudden. But there stood Josh, had the apple in his hand. Darrell pulls back the bow and then waits, building pressure, testing, testing, testing. And then, thwack! The arrow took off, went right through the center of that apple and exploded it everywhere. Cheers went up. Everybody applauded Hal, who was all smiles and patting himself on the back. Yeah! Until his cameraman walked up to him with that look on his face. I'm sorry, Josh, he said. I didn't get it.
Oh, no.
The viewfinder was messed up. Can we do it again? How many of you would do it a second time? But we get our faith tested regularly. And sometimes we don't even realize it's being tested. Let me tell you one of the big things about getting your faith tested is when you have to go tell someone that you have a problem with something they're doing. Someone who is your great friend or someone you love, and you might have to go talk to them. And you're praying the whole time. And you're doing it in love. Or it's somebody you don't like, and you have to go talk to them. Perhaps it's your neighbor. Maybe they do something that aggravates you. Faith is tested. Faith is tested. And in reality, it happens every day. And for all our faith, we are sometimes lost in the why. Why did people die? Why did they get sick? Why was that crash? Where was God? Why did this happen? Our faith is tested not because of that. Our faith is tested to make it stronger so that one day we will be able to speak to those who have suffered a great loss and tell them our Lord was tested. You don't believe me? Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I'll give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. 40 days in the wilderness, fasting, nowhere to eat, nothing around him, no protection, nothing, left alone. Jesus' faith in his own Father tested to the nth degree. If we can look upon somebody, I get crazy if I go without lunch. And I'm sure a lot of you in here are the same way. I see Sarah shaking her head. Both Sarahs. And our faith gets tested. But you see, today's scripture wasn't just about having faith. It was about having a single thread of faith. George Mueller, who lived back in the 1800s, was a Christian evangelist. He was the director of the Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol, England. He cared for, during his lifetime, 11,000 orphans. 11,000 of them. Provided educational opportunities to the point where he was accused by raising the poor above those of their natural station in British life. He established 117 schools and offered Christian education to more than 120,000 children. He says this. He said, God delights to increase the faith of His children. I say, and say it deliberately, trials, difficulties, and sometimes defeat are the very food of faith. Hold it. What did he just say? That getting in trouble, that going through trials and tensions are the very food of faith that builds your faith up? That don't sound right, Paul. We should take them out of his hands as evidences of his love and care for us in developing more and more that faith which he is seeking that will strengthen us. I like that saying. That will strengthen us. And so we're getting it right. Trust is to... Trust is to...
Hope.
Hope is to...
Faith.
Faith is to joy.
Joy.
Joy is to trust.
Trust.
I'm going to help you out on that one. Y'all are sleeping a little bit. I'm going to get those buzzers installed next week. I'm going to have that thing right here. And when we're ready, you guys are going to come to life. And so, okay, Paul, we've heard enough. We know we need faith. We got that. We all know that we're falling short of it. We know. But what? What? Go back to the scripture. I'm telling you right now that your faith is greatest when it's a single thread. Go back to that scripture for a moment. Now, trivia time. Everybody in this room have an elbow? Everybody got that little skin there on your elbow? You ever heard that old trick about the skin on your elbow? Do you know that you can pinch that skin and cannot feel it? Good try. Go ahead. I'm not kidding you. Look how hard I'm pinching. You cannot feel yourself pinching that skin. And people are going, wow, our preacher's pretty smart. And you're going to be doing that for a while. You got it. How did he know that? I'm a smart man. Because there is no real sensitivity in your elbow, you can cut it and not know it. It's that light of a touch. Go back to the scripture for a moment. Luke starts off, now when he returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were expecting him. By now, Jesus has gone from just a dirt poor carpenter to a phenomenon. They want to know him. They want to be with him. They want to be around him. I wanted the Mountain Anthems to sing another 2 hours Sunday night. I didn't want them to leave. I was so wrapped up in that spirit in that moment. And this is the crowds. They want to be near him. And then came Jairus. And we know that Jairus was a ruler in the synagogue. He was a man of high esteem. He was a man of great position. He was a great Jewish teacher in the synagogue. And the Jews said that the Messiah was not there. It's a funny thing when your 12-year-old daughter is gasping for her last breaths, ain't it? A lot changes. Faith is being shaken. He falls. The Bible says, you see it right there, right? Came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his daughter was dying. And so it says, as Jesus went on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. We had 205 people in here last Sunday night. I can imagine what it would be like with 235 Everybody be rubbing elbows. Say amen. Don't pinch their elbows. Unless you ask them real nicely. And as Jesus is walking, they're pressing. They're bumping against him. He had no security. He didn't have a detail. And a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, nobody could heal her. If you go to an in-depth study of it, that means she gave all her money to all the doctors and she bled. Bled. And she knew something was different. And so she called on her faith. If I could get, think about what she did. A crowd of thousands, and she had to bust her way through it, bleeding. That's faith in action. Do you think for 1 minute that God saw this taking place and started clearing the crowd for her a little bit? Maybe made it a little easier for her to get up there? If you believe me, say amen. Certainly what I believe. Because I've been in a crowd of thousands. I go to them auctions. And boy, when it's time for that auction to come up, and it's the thing you want, you go up there and you stand right there. You put your hands on your hips like this. You got an A on your shirt for auction man. And people, and pretty soon, you're standing here like this because everybody wants to see what's going on. And she got through the crowd. And she said, all I've got to do, I don't even need to talk to him. I don't need to do anything. Just touch. The trailing thread of his worn cloak. Well, you dummy, I'll wrap this up now. I can't. There it is. The trailing thread of his worn cloak. And she was healed. Healed! Now the next part is pretty good. Who touched me? Jesus asked. And Matthew starts up, doesn't he? Peter gets his mouth going before he gets his brain in gear. I should not have been named Paul. I should have been called Peter. Because I'm a lot like him. He said, look, pal. There's all these people around. Everybody's been touching and banging and bumping and beating and banging and bumping into you. Jesus, come on, man. You're smarter than that. And he says, no. Power went out of me. I felt it. Who touched me? And she comes falling forward. And he looks at her and he says, after hearing her description, he says, daughter, you're healed. Your faith healed you. Your faith in me. Your trust to your hope. And that's where we're going. I trust that if I can get near him, I have the hope that I can get something from him. And I believe I will. So she went trust to hope to faith. And she went to joy because she walked out of there praising him. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Woo, baby, say amen.
Amen.
And then Jairus, your daughter is dead. Don't bother him anymore. And Jesus said, well, I ain't done yet. Jairus, you had faith in me. You trusted to have the hope, to have the faith. Let me go show you the joy. Walks him off to his house. Restores his daughter. This moment in the Bible is not an example of faith. Not an example of faith. Not. 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 This is the example of faith without thinking in its truest moment. It is faithfulness. It is the fullness of faith displayed. But even that's not good enough sometimes. When our faith is tested, it needs to be in our mind. Trust to hope, to faith, to joy. Because the way, well, sometimes you have to step back and you have to wonder, how in the world, how does this happen? How is my faith being tested? Greater than other people? Or how is people that have no reason in showing their faith being tested showing faithfulness. Some time back, I got reached out to by Lynn and Shirley. Hit it. This.
We now invite Alyssa Hicks to the stage.
Is faithfulness.
She is someone who has not seen the light of day, nor the color of a rose. And she, though, sees Jesus. And it's because he lives that Alyssa, who can't see, has hope. And the limbless conductor conducts an orchestra with his shoulders. Because Jesus lives, it's why I have hope. If you haven't found hope yet, he's knocking at your door. Let him in. Ladies and gentlemen, Alyssa Hicks, because he lives.
See, hadn't seen anything ever. Now I don't even know where to get started on all of it. He ain't got no arms and legs, and yet there he is leading an orchestra. What do you think she sees when she's singing? She sees her faith. She sees everything she put forward. An elderly a preacher was being rebuked by his deacons one Sunday morning that must be something wrong with your preaching, with your work. There's only been one person come to this church in a whole year, and it was nothing but a little boy. And the minister's old eyes got moistened, and he lamented, "I feel it, but God knows I've tried to do my duty." And the minister's heart was heavy as he stood before his flock, and as he finished his message, he was driven to resign. After everyone else had left, the little boy walked up and said, "Do you think if I worked hard for an education, I could become a preacher, perhaps a missionary?" Tears came out of his eyes. He said, "This heart that aches is now healed." He said, "Robert, I see the divine hand now. May God bless you, my boy. Yes, you will become a preacher." And many years later, an aged missionary returned to London from Africa. His name was spoken with reverence. Nobles invited him to sit with them. He added many souls to the Church of Jesus Christ, reaching even some of Africa's most savage chiefs. His name was Robert Moffat. And yes, Robert's faith had to be tested. For 10 years, him and his wife, Mary, labored in Bekinala land, which is now Botswana. And no one came to Christ. In this room, how many people would work for 10 years for no result? Put your hands up. I appreciate your honesty. It's hard. Your faith is being tested. They could not report a single convert. And finally, the directors of the mission board began to question the wisdom for continuing their work. And they were ready to leave their post, to give up on God, to let their faith be dashed on the rocks. They stayed for a year or two longer. Then one day, a friend in England sent word to them that she wanted to mail them a gift and said, "What can I send you?" Trust to hope to faith. Had Mary write back, "Send us a communion set. I am sure it will soon be needed." God heard that. The Holy Spirit moved in the hearts of the villagers, and soon a little group of 6 converts united to form the first Christian church in that land that still stands today growing. The communion set from England was delayed in the mail, and on the very day before the first commemoration of the Lord's Supper in Botswana, the communion set arrived. Faithfulness! Faithfulness! That's what comes from strengthening it. That's what comes from being tested. All done by a single thread. But I don't think you're getting it yet. You're about to. I need some helpers. Kathy, come up here. That's you. You're the only Kathy in the church. Up here right now. April, you're up here too. Yeah, heart's beating hard now, ain't it? Let this be a lesson to you. You just never know, do you? You stand right there. You stand right there. All right, face me this way. I want you to hold this spool. I'm going to unspool this thread. All right, now, let it. There you go. Thought you knew how to sew. Let's walk back. That's what you get. I'm stopping yet. That thing tangled. I want to go all the way back here.
You should put something through it now. I could just tell that.
Well, I couldn't find anything to fit in it. No, pencils don't fit in it. What's on the end of that pencil? Tear an ink pen apart and give me the cartridge out of the middle.
Do it the other way.
Oh, we got her now. Come back here. Why aren't you with me? All right, you stop. You stay. I'm here. We're all together, right? Single thread. Hold that reel so it doesn't move. I'm going to put some tension on it. A lot. A lot. You ready? This is your faith being tested. Now, your job is to harden my mess. Stay there. Just like that, didn't it? See how far away I was? I'm going to do this again. Let me know when you're ready. Any day. I don't want to touch it. Uh-huh. It's all right. We got time. They ain't going nowhere until I'm done.
I think they'll start. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, you ready to go? Yeah. There, put that cartridge through the center of that thing.
Thank you. You got a smart son.
Well, I told you to do it. How about some credit for me? All right, we're going to come to here. This looks good. Hold that real tight.
This is my faith out here being tested. All right. Clean that mess up. Oh, that busted all over the place, didn't it? Fix that. I can go back over there. You're tested again. Hold it tight. You got that? We're going to test our faith again. Still testing our faith. From Jesus Christ, the easier it is for your faith to break. The closer you are to Him, the stronger it becomes, and the faithfulness grows. Thanks, everybody. Thank you. You can give those to your mother. Trust to
hope
to
faith.
Faith to
joy
to
trust.
And in the center,
love.
Stay as close to Jesus as you can in all things, everything. Every time we get away from Him, we break. And then we have to run back to where the strength is. Once again, from Thomas Aquinas, faith has to do with things that are not seen, and hope with things that are not at hand. Let me translate. We don't see Him, yet He is here. We don't touch Him, yet He is here. We don't hug Him, yet He is here. And because of that, one day we will see Him. We will touch Him. We will hug Him. We will hold Him. And we will be the crowd around Jesus Christ, our Savior. A single thread of our faith is all we need to continue our relationship with Jesus Christ stronger and stronger every day, from trust to hope to faith to joy. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for this day. We thank You for the things that You have given us and taken from us. And I want You to open Your hand and tell me, come here, son. Take these tests from my hand. Trials, tribulations, trouble, tension. Learn from them. Grow. Feed on them and grow that strength so that You may show Your faithfulness in me more and more and more to those around You. Because You, child, are my word, are my creation, are my love. And so I want others to know me the way that You do. We thank You, Father. We pray every day that the blood of Jesus Christ, spilt so freely, with cost, washes us clean to start fresh anew. We pray every day, Father, that You never let us forget of the ultimate gift and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We pray every day, Father, because we are faithful. We thank You. We lift up to You ourselves and ask that You continue to take us and use us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As we close out today, the bench is open for you. If you need me, I'm here. If you do not know Jesus Christ, see me. May God bless each and every one of you.